Once again, we back with another episode of Peace Study. You're with your host, man, that don't do the most, but always raise the glass to a toast for the Most High, Church Hudson. And this platform is strictly about studying principles and becoming the principle by speaking these things into existence and carrying out these tasks through our own deeds. And see, that's the three-step rule. You know what I'm talking about? Think, speak, do. We study what to think. We speak those things that we think on and should be meditating on. And we follow through with the deeds or the actions that will carry us from point A to point B. This is what has carried every successful person from trial to glory. And in worst case scenarios, this is also the same three-step process that have taken people from thinking death, speaking death, and bringing death into their own life as well. The formula is a double-edged sword. You can either go about it in a way that can be fruitful and fulfilling, or you can go about it in a way that can ultimately bring you to a destination that is unfavorable for the reasonable mind. See, I am a creation of God. And so I found all of my principles of success by studying our heavenly host and the creator of all things. And I've observed the things that the creator has created. For the first season of Peace Study, I highlight myself. And I study my actions. I audit my actions like I'm the IRS or something, right? I audit my actions or inaction and judge the results to keep a careful record of what is lifting me up and tripping me up. And this is what season one is all about. Dedicating oneself to better manage oneself. For if we can manage ourselves well, we can manage relationships well and our businesses well. You know, on a lot of podcasts, I hear a lot of brothers get on the microphone with all of the best relationship advice in the world, but they single. I ain't one of them dudes. I ain't one of them brothers. In fact, I don't have any advice per se at all. I just have testimonies from my own trial and errors as a single man, and I share cases from the Bible and in life in general to testify actions and results for people, myself, and hopefully you can make your own informed decision when you hear the fruits from this thing we call labor. In the last two episodes of Principle Study, I shared a few pages of my personal memoir. The topic of discussion covered how it's power in stripping yourself of everything. It's power in nakedness. Today, I want to turn the page of that case to a sequel of that prequel. I want to change the channel on this show to highlight the implications of nakedness and the power I discovered therein. I discovered that real power of stripping myself of all things I was holding on to in this world. And the power is just not for the sake of being naked. I just want to let that be known. But the roots of the power of nakedness is in being available for God to clothe you. The glory of the Lord being evident in your life is found in the raw materials of the royal clothing he puts on your back when you take them old rags off that you just think is so fresh and so clean and you think it's the best thing since sliced bread. If you missed this two-piece combo series I aired the last 2 weeks, in a nutshell, I just want you to understand that God came to me in a dream and gave me two scriptures that showed me a role I needed to fill in rebuilding his kingdom. And he also rebuked me for holding on to his money and tithes. When I did my calculations on savings and what I needed to do in order to pay tithes and offerings, ironically, I didn't have enough money to do much of anything. I only had enough to get gas, groceries, and two haircuts a month. But here's the crazy part. Ever since I've been obedient, my money has quadrupled. And business have been business been coming to my door, knocking at my door. So where are we now in this case of stripping to receive and giving to receive? Okay, that's the question of this episode. Where to now? Where am I at now? And what can we observe from this case? Because this is the open book that I'm reading from my own observation of myself. For a wise man once told me, to thyself be true. To thyself be true. Okay, so I will give you an update. But before I do, I want to highlight something that happened to me while I was studying on tithing. So tithing in Hebrew means 10, okay? And when I break down my expenses and pledge what percentage I would give, I pay myself about 10% of what I earn. And I give 10% of what I earn in tithe, another 10% in offering, and the other 70% is in savings and bills. So I was going through my social media, Instagram, while I thought about how much I needed to crunch up for this week. And I was going through the numbers to get my tithes in church. And all of a sudden, I saw two different videos talking about how the banks go about 10% as a key metric for making money. Okay, so here's where it gets a little interesting, okay? I saw a video from a financial advisor named Crystal Castillo Guster. I got an appointment with her next week. I'm interested to see what I can get some more insight on this, but nevertheless, she's sitting on a panel talking about how people fail to talk about money and ultimately fail to build wealth because of it, right? So she talks about how she retired her mom. She was able to do things that brought people out of financial hardship, and they were able to earn their leisure, right? But this is the part that I want you to pay attention to, right? In quote, this is what she said. She said, the bank puts our money in a 10% account. Remember, Hebrew means tithe. 10 means Hebrew and tithe. Oh, tithe, I'm sorry. Tithe means 10 in Hebrew, okay? So remember that. The bank puts our money in a tithing account. 10% account, and they make billions of dollars from our money. We can do the same thing, she said, but we are not putting our money into a 10% index account. Okay. Then, right after, now I don't know how ironic this is, I don't know how things usually tend to go in your favor when you're on social media, but I find it quite ironic that right after I see this video, I see another video on my Instagram, and it's another example of 10% used in a different scenario. And in this video, this video was posted by a billionaire named John Hope Bryant. John Hope Bryant. Okay. And in his own words, he said, the more money you make, the easier it is to make more money, because you can buy assets and let the appreciation of the assets grow by 10% every year. So if you had $10 million in assets, you can get $1 million back in interest. Remember, 10 in Hebrew means tithe. Also, to add to these two videos, maybe a few hours before I was even on social media or on Instagram, I was crunching the numbers for my credit cards, and I was able to understand that by having a little bit of utilization on my credit card, my credit score would increase. So I also was able to find out that using your credit card and paying the card down to 10% before the closing date of the card will boost your credit score. Okay? The closing date is not the payment due date. The closing date is when the credit reporters receive your latest update for the use of your card. Okay? But still, it's still at that 10%. 10, at least. They say that that is a very great metric with your credit card. So, to go back to where I am since I've gotten naked and made myself available to receive the royal clothing of God, I have to recite a few passages from the Holy Scriptures that mentions this whole thing about 10. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 through 22, Jacob made a vow to give God a full tenth of everything that God gave unto him. In Leviticus chapter 27 and 32, the law declared that the Levites collect a full tenth of herds and flocks. Every tenth animal of all that passed under the herdsman's staff to be made holy to the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 7 verse 1 through 28, the scriptures reiterate how the descendants of Levi, who received the priestly office, had the commandment in the law to take tithes, to take 10 from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these are also descendants from Abraham. And in Genesis as well, also in Genesis chapter 14 verse 17 through 20, since the king of Salem offered Abram a blessing in the name of God Most High and shared with him a meal of bread and wine, Abraham honored Melchizedek with a tenth portion of everything. So let's put it all in perspective, okay? The bank takes tithes from us and makes 10% return on every dollar that is in our account. If we put our money in an interest building account, we could do the same thing for ourselves. If we keep our credit card utilization down to 10%, then our credit will continue to increase. So where am I since I've gotten naked and made myself available to receive the royal clothing of God? I was nearly $10,000 high in debt before I started giving up that 10% in tithe and that 10% in offering. But you fast forward just a couple weeks later and I'm almost down to 10% of that money I owed, with money left over to do whatever I want to do. But I'm not going to blow it. I'm gonna act like I know it, right? Because now I audit my energy. Now I know what is coming in and leaving out. And for some strange reason, it is not so much as the material things that God has clothed me with since I got naked, but it is his wisdom that he has clothed my spirit with and the discipline to keep what he has afforded me. This is a universal law that applies to all things, and this is what God gave me. You have to make wise decisions to receive blessings, but you have to be disciplined when you receive these things in order to keep these things. Whatever you receive will need maintenance because of the law of entropy, meaning if you leave something by itself, it's going to get worse in its condition unless it's maintained, right? I was telling my mama today during Sunday dinner how I was dating this chick back in the day, and her gas bill got behind in the middle of the winter. Instead of her paying the bill, she boiled hot water to take baths and had space heaters all around her apartment. But do you know what she spent her money on? A trip to Atlanta to go to the clubs with her friends. I know that sound ratchet, and it is, but what she was doing wasn't different from what I was doing before I started tithing. I would sit on the government's clock and get some money, then give all the money back to the government and the government's homeboys who own all these brands and products without really realizing, because I didn't think that I made much, first of all, and I felt like I had a right to live a little. But now, I'm a husband. You dig what I'm talking about? I'm a husband, which means a manager of resources, particularly wealth, assets, etc., right? And I like to thank my auntie Tasha for pulling me to the side when I was a young, heartbroken boy, right? Heartbroken by a girl who was all but what I was prepared for. For context, I was Ubering, trying to scrape up money to show this girl a good time before her flight landed, because we was in a long distance situation or whatever like that. And before she can even arrive, a day before her flight land, she called it quits. So I was all hurt. You know, I had a big old ball of soreness in my chest. And my auntie asked me a simple question. She said, "Nephew, what does the word husband come from?" Of course, I didn't know the answer, right? But then when I looked, when I researched what or where the word come from, right? I saw that it came from the word husbandry, which means to manage land, wealth, resources, etc. I realized I was not truly that, and she gave me a look like, you have nothing to be hurt about. Get yours, nephew. Get yours. In close, in my case, God has not given me anything that I prayed for financially, okay? God has only given me what I could manage. I'm going to say that one more time. God has not given me anything that I prayed for financially. God has only given me what I could manage. And since I've been able to manage my lifestyle with a small portion of my income, while also giving him back a tenth portion of what I bring in, times two, right? Because I tithe twice over. He has blessed my income 10 times while cutting old payments that I owe. For in the holy word it reads now, and this is coming to me right now, live and living color, you know what I'm talking about? It reads, he that is faithful over a few things, I will make them ruler over many things. So in close, I took it off so that God could put my royal clothes on. And if you want the same for you, I advise you to take it off. Give that 10 and let God put them royal clothes on you as well. Church ism. 86% of all millionaires are married. Families run the world, y'all. But the family begins with self, as you are one half of the core of the household. Be that in which you want to attract, marry, be fruitful and multiply. And be skilled in something that provides value to your neighbor. To love God with all our might, love and soul, heart and soul, and to love our neighbor as we love thyself is the call. And how we love our neighbor is by solving a problem that we were born to solve. To get skilled in that solution for the pollution is the call. For every skilled man shall stand before kings and queens, not wicked mean men. But be weary, be careful for what the king holds, and do not be given to appetite for anyone who is given to appetite for the king's shiny things and diamond rings and designer things might as well hold a knife to their own throat. I hope that you found this episode relevant to your life to apply it however you may wish. But ultimately, these are the steps and actions that I was able to discover by not only observing myself, but following in the ways of Yeshua, popularly known as Jesus Christ. I hope that this is enough for you to be able to make the informed decision to pick up your cross as well. I love you. Remember, put that 10 in. Put that 10 in and receive your royal clothing.
I need like 10. 10, 10, 10. I'm like, okay, 10, 10.